this is the fourth part of Dying to the Resurrection, Man's Purpose, Constitution, Death, and Destiny. Tonight we get to death. We spent approximately 1 week on God's purpose, why God created man, and that was to rule over the earth. Remember that? Genesis 1. And then the last 2 weeks, we have covered man's constitution. Anything that is breathing is because of God. God formed the different bodies and then breathed in His breath, and it energized the body. Just a quick review. Let us remember that when God made man, His being, it is called a living soul. It's a living soul because God breathed the breath of life into His body, and He became a living soul. God did not give him a soul. He is a soul. And this is contradictory to tradition. Then last week, read Genesis 3:19, and Ken read that again tonight, in that because man disobeyed God, just as God said that if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. And because the man did eat of the tree, and the woman ate of the tree, they died. Part of the oracle that God gave to the man in chapter 3, which Ken has already read, 3:19 specifically, it says that from the ground you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now to me, that's clear. However, if I listen to the world, if I listen to church doctrine, that is not what I hear. I hear, I don't actually die, I don't turn to dust, but that I have something inherently within me that's immortal, that when this shell, they will say, this body dies, something flies away. And they say that's the soul. Scripture never speaks of the soul in that manner. The soul never flies away. The soul never ascends to heaven. Never. Not even in the resurrection. Tonight, death. What constitutes death? Well, let me say that according to the scriptures, the dead, whether Christian or non-Christian, whether good or evil, are neither rejoicing in heaven presently, nor suffering in purgatory, nor crying out in pain in hell. They're dead. They're dead. What constitutes death in Scripture? When man was constituted, there was two parts. The nephesh, or the being of the person, and the breath of life from God. What is death? What happens when we die?
Stop breathing.
Good. Okay. So when a person dies, we can say the breath of life is gone. What happens to me? Yeah, I die. And I start decaying. And if I was left out on a slab, everybody could smell me even because of the decay. As time goes on, I decompose. And after some more time, as I decompose more and more and more, I actually turn to the basic elements from which I was made. Now that's a fact. And yet, for some reason, we have come to the idea that that's not true. For some reason, we think that God is wrong and tradition is right. So the state of death or death state is caused by either this body. Let's say I drive in a car and I have a head on and I die. Why did I die?
You lost your breath.
And why did I lose the breath? Because this body couldn't sustain it. Or this nephesh. Now when I talk about the body, I'm talking about the whole being. Inside out. The whole indivisible person. That's how the term body is used in Scripture. So when I refer to this body, I'm referring to the whole being. Indivisible. Not divided. So if I have a wreck, and I die, this body could not sustain life. Maybe loss of what? Key word.
Blood.
Exactly. As Moses says in Leviticus, the life is in the blood. Okay, that's one reason I can die. Okay, the body cannot sustain the breath of life. Okay, that's physical. What's another reason? This one we don't like to think about.
Judgment.
God takes the breath of life away from us. So it could be one of those two possibilities. We've already established the fact that when we die, we turn to dust. Do I have to go to a lot of passages for that? I don't want to bore you. I mean, I have something like 15 passages here that the scriptures say we all turn to dust. Genesis 3:19 is just good enough, okay? Let's do turn to Psalm 146 and verse 4. When we die, what happens? Well, there's a lot of different philosophies and a lot of different religions that have influence on how we think what happens in the state of death. Can you think of any? For example, I'll start out. There are departed souls in this room. They're invisible, but there are mediums who can detect these departed souls. There's even TV shows about this, right? And they're very popular. There's one, for example, called The Medium. Even though God says this is a detestable thing, we'll still watch the show. Why is that?
You wish it was so.
Okay. Now, surely I think you've hit right on. You know, I'm going to die someday, and that's what I hope happens to me. Well, Scripture actually gives us a better alternative than that. How many of you have ever told somebody, or have you heard, to comfort someone, you said to an individual, in order to comfort them, your mother, your father, your husband, so forth, is up in heaven, and they're watching down upon us. I mean, that's common, right? Did you go on, or did they tell you further, that in your most intimate moments then they could see you too? Think about it. Husbands and wives, during the most intimate sexual moment, they could see you. Oh, but they don't tell you that, do they? Most husbands and wives don't even watch each other to use the bathroom, correct? I mean, it's not a good thing to watch. If there's departed souls up in heaven looking down, and they're supposed to see things, they can see that too. Now, how many of us would like that? But you don't hear that side, do you? We don't think of it along those lines. That's how idiotic it is when you just stop and think about it. Yes, Ken.
Not to belabor anything.
No, don't. Please.
There possibly is a little confusion in some of the phraseologies we use. Because just looking at this Psalm 146,
good,
verse 4, when it says, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. Indicating that we have a spirit that goes someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's what we understand as that is our being going to heaven or wherever.
That's right. That's right. As if man has a body, usually the teaching is man has a body, a soul, and a spirit.
Right.
Yeah. We saw this last week, but I didn't make a point about it. Hold your place in Psalm 146 and turn back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7 involves the flood. And at the time in which the water came up on the earth. And by the way, I think it was Ralph that pointed out to me at the end of our time last time that... But what about the fish? Did they die? No. Only the land creatures died during the flood. That's what the text says anyway in verse 21. All flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land and in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life. Did you catch it? Now, my text has breath of the Spirit of life. In the Hebrew text, this can be also understood more clearly as all in whose nostrils was the breath, that is, the Spirit of life, died. So it's equating the breath of life to spirit. It is not something different. It is the same. In fact, this becomes the most common word, the word for spirit, used in the Old Testament that relates to that which energizes this nephesh, or this being of mine. It energizes also the animals. No, it's talking about the same thing, the breath of life. Any other questions? That's an excellent question concerning that. Why is it spirit and it doesn't say breath? In fact, my English translation will sometimes say breath and it's actually spirit. But the Hebrew word that's used, it doesn't mean spirit all the time. It means breath. But right in Genesis 7, the author equates that the breath of life is the spirit, and then from henceforth it's used spirit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my nephesh. See, my text has soul. Does all your text have soul? I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. 3. Do not trust in princesses, immortal man, in whom there is no salvation. Now, the context of this, that salvation from what? What's the context? You don't trust immortal men because they die. There is no salvation. Salvation from what? Death. Verse 4. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. That's why you don't trust in princesses. They have no salvation to offer to rescue you from death. In that very day, his spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day, what happens? His thoughts perish. Does anybody else have anything different?
Plans.
Pardon?
Plans.
His plans perish? Is it what you have? Okay. His plans perish. Yeah. So you could be having such great plans one day, have a stroke the next day and die. What happens to your plans?
Out the window.
That's right. Exactly right. We are transitory beings. We are mortal beings. We die. That's why we are not to put our trust in those whom the world trusts. The leaders, the rulers. That's the princes. Immortal man in whom there is no salvation. And the context is salvation from death. Why? His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. Why would you trust somebody like that? Who in the history of all mankind has died and has risen to life and never to die again? Jesus Christ. Ah, maybe that's a person we should trust. So, your plans perish. They're gone. Huh, I thought you had an immortal soul. Why wouldn't the plans continue on? Look at Psalm chapter 6. If we have an immortal soul that flies up into heaven, into God's presence, one thing I would expect if you're in the presence of God is to praise Him, to give Him thanks. Wouldn't you? Look at what David says. Psalm 6, verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. And my nephesh, my soul, is greatly dismayed. So his whole being, he just aches. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my nephesh, or soul, save me because of your loving kindness, for there is no mention of you in death, in Sheol, who will give you thanks? First of all, I would like to say, I wish I had a heart like David, that I praised the Lord so much that I would miss it if I died. This is a lament from David. It's also a petition. Lord, you want me to continue to praise you? Then don't let me die. But if David ascended up into heaven after he died, into the Lord's presence, wouldn't you expect him to be praising the Lord? King David says, no way, because he's dead. And this is a great way to pray to God. When I was riding across Kansas a few weeks ago on my bicycle, we were on a very busy road. It was US 36 in central Kansas. In western Kansas, it's not too bad. But when you get into central and eastern Kansas, eastern Kansas, it becomes busier and busier. And part of a day, it seemed like all I was seeing was headlights coming one way and taillights the other, and we only had a two-foot shoulder to ride our bicycle on. And some of these vehicles come very close to you. Anyway, that's what it feels like. And they're traveling at 70 miles an hour, and you're only going maybe 15, and on a good day, 20 miles an hour. Now, I thought to myself, while riding that bicycle, it would take only one person talking on a cell phone and not paying any attention. Because, I don't know if you know it or not, in Kansas, US 36 goes up and down. There's a lot of hills. It is not flat. And I was thinking, you know, as I go up over this hill on my bicycle and start down, here comes a car. Comes up over that hill, and what could they do? Just take me out and several others who were riding their bicycles. So, during that time, this is what I was praying. Lord, if I die, I will not be able to praise you. It's not, Lord, gosh, let me get back to my computer. Lord, let me take care of my family. Lord, I would miss my work. It's, Lord, I won't be able to praise you. Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me. So he's saying, rescue my soul is parallel to what? Save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no mention of you in death, in Sheol, who will give you thanks. So there's no mention is parallel to no thanks, and death is parallel to what? Sheol. And what he's saying is the soul is parallel to me as making mention is parallel to giving thanks, and there's also one more parallel there. Death is parallel to Sheol. The state of death is parallel to Sheol. Sheol just simply means unseen. There is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? Well, no one will. No one can. Okay, just a few more. Psalm 115, verse 17. I'm trying to stay in the Psalms to keep us localized in the Scripture so we're not having to turn to too many places tonight. Psalm 115, verse 17. In verse 16 of Psalm 115, it says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor anyone who go down into silence. What's two things we can learn from that verse about the dead? Okay, there's no praising the Lord. Okay, what else? Why can't you praise the Lord? What? You're dead, yeah, but what else happens? Have you ever seen anybody speak when they're dead? I mean, I know that's simple, but isn't that what the psalmist says? They go down in silence. That's the reason why they can't praise the Lord. They can't talk. They're dead. You can't give thanks. You can't praise. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5. Verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. For I have taken all this to my heart and explain it, that righteous men, wise men, and their deeds are in the hand of God. Man does not know whether it will be love or hatred. Anything awaits him. It is the same for all. There is one destiny for the righteous and for the wicked. Notice, catch this now. There's one destiny for the righteous and for the wicked. For the good, for the clean, and for the unclean. For the man who offers a sacrifice, and for the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. What is that destiny? Come on, tell me, tell me. Ah, well, Solomon belabors here, verse 3. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. For whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. Verse 5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. Indeed, their love, their hate, and their zeal have already perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. So when you die, what do these verses say? Is it a good thing? Are we looking forward to death?
Memory is forgotten.
And next week, we will take up the most common way in which Scripture describes death. Does anybody have an idea what that is? The Scriptures speak about death as one who sleeps. It's a euphony. It's a figure of speech. When we see a dead person, they look like they're asleep. And we will look at how Scripture uses that term. So, does everybody understand what death constitutes now? So when you die, that's it. That's it. All your plans. But let me not end on such a negative note. God's solution is this. Resurrection. And bring us back to life from the dead. Any questions, any thoughts, any comments before we close? Yes?
We don't learn of that until the New Testament, right?
Excuse me, I'm sorry?
We do not learn of that hope until the New Testament?
No, no. It's given in the Old too.
Is it?
Yes. In fact, Ezekiel 36 and 37 is a magnificent passage. It's talking about the Valley of Dry Bones.
Okay.
And it says that I will cleanse you and I will put my breath back into you. And I will raise you up out of the graves. And of course, Daniel as well, other passages we'll look at. We're going to look at resurrection passages. Okay? So resurrection is spoken about in the Old Testament. Anything else?
You know, just one thought.
Yes, Steve.
What we've just done tonight, the wicked person, when he dies, he does leave something. That's the damage he's done to the generations.
That's true.
And the righteous person, hopefully, they're dead. They've caused righteousness for the generations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So your life counts even though you're dead, in that sense. If you've built, if you've led it correctly and built into...